Well, we're honored by the presence of our commencement speaker this morning. In fact, it would be kind of a problem if he wasn't here. Our president, Bill Robinson, has been our president for the past 15 years, and as I was walking up here, he said, "Keep it short." So if you don't know him already, as the guy who rides the mountain bike around campus in a suit, you will know him as the 17th president of Whitworth University, who came to Whitworth from Manchester College in Indiana, where he served as president from 1986 to 1993. He's a communication scholar who has distinguished himself as a teacher, speaker, and community leader. Robinson received his bachelor's degree from the University of Northern Iowa, his master's degree from Wheaton College, and his PhD from the University of Pittsburgh. He also studied at Princeton Theological Seminary and the Moody Bible Institute. Most of his scholarly work has focused on organizational, cross-cultural, and interpersonal communication. He has also done postgraduate research in religion and philosophy, areas in which he has a lifelong interest. In 2002, Robinson published a book, Leading People from the Middle, The Universal Mission of Mind and Heart, with Executive Excellence Publishing. But more than any of these accomplishments, I esteem Bill for his capacity to build a strong and academically excellent community here at Whitworth. Robinson's connection with students is integral to his person and to his presidency. If you ask, he will tell you that his richest moments at Whitworth are the ones that he shares with his students. His calling is to work with and for them, and his priority is always the student. But he recognizes that when a president empowers and encourages faculty and staff, the net result is a happy, well-educated, well-adjusted, and well-informed student body. So with that, I give you Bill Robinson.
Thank you. Not short enough. On June 28, 2005, Lieutenant Michael Murphy found himself and three other Navy SEALs under attack by more than 50 Taliban fighters in Afghanistan. He needed to call for help, but he needed an open space to make the call. So he crawled out into an unprotected clearing and sent the message. It cost him his life. Upon receiving the Medal of Honor for their son's sacrifice, Murphy's parents characterized his actions not as those of a hero, but as those of a leader. Murphy's parents implied that sacrifice is an act of leadership more than an act of heroism. How do you graduates feel about that? Do you think sacrifice as an attribute of leadership? Do you associate sacrifice with today's high-profile leaders? When is leadership sacrificial? I would define sacrifice as an act of leadership when we deny ourselves in service of a higher cause. I remember sitting in a hotel room on the 50th anniversary of D-Day. As I watched footage of our soldiers, it struck me quite emotionally that the first guys to scale the Normandy bluffs weren't really fighting. They were sacrificing for the high cause of freedom. Of course, not all sacrifices are life-threatening, thankfully. Even small sacrifices can have huge impacts. Graduates, many of you are sitting in front of family members who felt your education was a higher cause than a new car or a better house. So they sacrificed. They sacrificed for you. On Wednesday, I got a note from a parent of two students that read, "It is not easy to write these checks and make the sacrifices that many parents like us make, but we feel our investment is being multiplied right before our eyes as our students grow and mature." Sacrifices, great and small, contrast sharply with the shameless self-interest that grips 21st century America. Marketers capitalize on our self-absorption. Their sales have evolved from, "Wouldn't you like this new TV?" to, "You really need this new TV?" to, "You deserve this gigantic flat-screen TV." Deserve? No, you don't. What did you do to deserve that TV? Deserve language appeals to our self-aggrandizement, and apparently it works, or they wouldn't use it. But just as we are about to drown in our self-centeredness, we encounter a simple sacrifice, perhaps at the grocery store. "You look like you're in a hurry. Please go ahead of me." We see grace in the small sacrifices just as we see valor in the great acts of self-denial. Sacrifices inspire us, and they inspire those we lead. Recently, I spoke to an assembly of people involved in a pretty small ministry. The leader of this group is, well, he's not much of a leader by any standard measure, but his sacrifices inspire me to follow him. I was not surprised when I found out that he took a second mortgage on his home in order to support this ministry. Inspiration isn't the only reason or the highest reason to sacrifice. If it were, then we would always need to make our sacrifices visible. The most powerful reason to sacrifice is the one that sent Christ to the cross. We sacrifice for the mission, for the people executing the mission, and for the people served by the mission. It begs the definition of sacrifice if we give something up only to strengthen our position or deepen our influence. We sacrifice when serving our mission and our people becomes more important than serving ourselves. Former Seattle Seahawk quarterback Jeff Kemp, who's also father of Whitworth quarterback Corey Kemp, tells a story of how the legendary coach Bill Walsh taught sacrifice to the San Francisco 49ers. He writes, "My favorite play was a play-action pass to Jerry Rice, Brown right fake 22Z post. The line was to dive left and cut block as they would on a running play. The halfback was to explode up and over the line, wrapping up an imaginary ball as he, like the lineman, sacrificed himself to convince the defense of a run play. The wide receivers briefly feigned run blocking until Jerry Rice would dash past the cornerback and behind a run-suspecting flat-footed free safety. The quarterback was to turn from the defense, fake a handoff, and watch the running back like a matador following a bull. Then swiftly set up to pass a long post route, which would be caught approaching the end zone just after the quarterback is driven into the ground by the defensive end, who had to go unblocked in order to sell the fake run. It is a price we pay for a big play," Bill Walsh predicted. Although the quarterback gets smeared on this play, many of the players had to sacrifice. Sacrifice is not just the duty of quarterbacks and CEOs. It offers a means by which everyone in the group can lead. Any sacrifice made in service of the mission, no matter who makes it, provides leadership for the whole group, for the whole organization. And those of you who move into positions of authority can create a culture of leadership by your own sacrifices. One of the best examples of how a leader's sacrifice resulting in culture of leadership can be found in a very interesting story of Aaron Feuerstein. On December 11, 1995, the Malden Mills textile factory in Lowell, Massachusetts, went up in smoke, leaving the owner, Aaron Feuerstein, with two lucrative options. He could pocket $300 million of insurance money, or he could manufacture his trademark Polar Tech fleeces offshore for a fraction of his costs. So which did he choose? Neither. Instead, he announced plans to rebuild the plant and pledged that he would keep all employees on the payroll during the reconstruction. He continued paying them for 90 days at a cost of $1.5 million per week while the factories were being rebuilt. Several years after the fire and reconstruction, Feuerstein's benevolence caught up with him. His sacrificial efforts ended in bankruptcy, but this time the employees announced that they would make the sacrifices. They passed on overtime, accepted lower wages, and stepped up their productivity. In October 2003, Malden Mills emerged from bankruptcy and thrives today. Aaron Feuerstein subordinated his self-interest to the mission, to the people who executed the mission, and to the people served by the mission. He deserves all the props and fame he gets. But how many of us lay awake at night trying to figure out what to do with $300 million? The question for us little guys is whether our puny sacrifices matter. I think they do. Every one of you who enters into leadership of any kind can sacrifice in the following areas. First, we can sacrifice time. When I was a kid, every summer vacation was the same. We drove 600 miles to my grandparents' house. We spent a week chatting, and we went home. That was my childhood vacation life, except for one night. The night my father took me to some kind of a car race near my grandparents' town. At some point, he must have given me money to get a treat. That would not have been like him. But it would have been even less like me to go to the bathroom during the races, so it must have been the treat. As I was walking back toward the grandstands, I spotted my dad sitting alone, motionless, and bored. And for reasons I still don't fully understand, I stopped in my tracks. I stared at my dad. I was utterly overcome. I realized he was not sitting there for the races. He was sitting there because he loved me. He sacrificed an evening because I was a higher cause. For most teachers and business people, time is precious, and that's what makes the sacrifice of time so jolting. People appreciate so deeply the attention, support, and accessibility provided by even the most modest sacrifices of time. When a teacher calls a parent to give an encouraging word, or when a supervisor shows up at the soccer match of an employee's child, it represents a small sacrifice, but it inspires and it leads. Second, we can sacrifice comfort. Some of you will get into positions of leadership where you have access to many perks. You should use the ones that help you serve your people more effectively. But my advice is that you not accept the comforts just because they're available, especially the ones that can come at the sacrifice or expense of those you lead. Who should have the reserved parking place? The executive who seldom leaves the office, or the staff person who often makes runs for the executive? If you feel the answer should be the executive, you don't want to read your Bible. In Luke 9, we hear the words of a religious scribe saying, "Lord, I will follow you anywhere you go." Jesus replies, "Not so fast. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head." Jesus continually sacrificed comfort, and I'm pretty sure that a 21st century Jesus would fly economy class, have a reasonably sized office, stay at Holiday Inn Express, shop at Nordstrom's only when there's a big sale, walk or take the bus to work, and order the house wine, assuming he just didn't order water and fix it. 3, you can sacrifice credit. We must be willing to sacrifice the credit we think we deserve, which most of the time should be shared anyway. Leaders taking credit demoralizes those they lead. Giving credit empowers those they lead, and sacrificing credit empowers the leaders. It purifies their motives and liberates them to work not for themselves, but for the mission, for those who execute the mission and those who are served by the mission. As you know, Whitworth provides a very good education. In part, Michael LeRoy as dean and I as president helped make that happen. But because of our jobs, we are credited for far more than we deserve. Neither one of us taught your classes or helped you solve your academic problems. Excellent educations are the result of these excellent faculty members. If Michael and I allow ourselves or others to think that what happens every day in Whitworth classrooms is our doing, we deceive ourselves and we steal from the faculty. He and I should forego what little credit we deserve in order to make sure the faculty receives what big credit they deserve. I once told a faculty member, "I get more credit than I deserve." He replied, "Well, at least you didn't screw things up." For that, we should all be grateful. Sacrifices of credit are barely sacrifices at all. They are acknowledgments that we have been lavished with God's grace, that what we deserve compared to what we have been given takes a microscope to find. Finally, we can sacrifice privilege. The most reliable leadership principle I've ever found is this: you get what you give. When a Feuerstein sacrificed for the group sacrificed for him. Correspondingly, when a leader sacrifices for the mission, the group sacrifices for the mission. Perhaps some of you have read the book The Endurance, an account of Lord Ernest Shackleton's 1914 trip to Antarctica. I made sure I read this on dry land. Shackleton and his crew should never have survived the trip, but somehow he created a culture of sacrifice by his own example. Crew member Walter Howe wrote, "Shackleton was consistently self-sacrificing. When he saw that Hurley had forgotten his gloves, he took off his own and thrust them at Hurley. Hurley, tough and uncomplaining, refused, but Shackleton insisted and said he would throw the gloves overboard if he didn't take them. Shackleton reinforced his positional authority by sacrificing many of his privileges. When leaders wait in line, bust their own tables, and use the same rule book as the people they have been called to lead, they do nothing to erode their respect. In fact, studies at the University of Maastricht in the Netherlands provide evidence that self-sacrifice, more than any other variable, legitimizes and empowers a leader." Let me conclude by saying that for those of you who are followers of Christ, how can you not sacrifice? How can sacrifice not be a part of your leadership? I'm afraid that we have made the victorious God the only God we want to lead us. Yet the only God ever to step foot on this planet is the suffering God, the sacrificing God, the incarnate God who went to the cross. I leave you with the words of St. Paul that Amanda read earlier. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he sacrificed himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." My wish for all of you today is to lead strongly. Lead by sacrificing time, comfort, credit, and privilege to your mission, to those who execute your mission, and to those who are served by your mission. And may you lead strongly and with the grace of God. Congratulations on this special day. We're very proud of you.